sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her needs. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and in the intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I hope you all had a good week with friends and family in this holiday week, and that you're coming back somewhat rested. My name is Paul Huang. I'm a former intern and youth pastor here at Church of All Nations, and now I'm one of the parish pastors. Along with Pastor Dana, I also work full-time as a chaplain at Prayer Care, which is a organization that provides psychiatric care to mainly children and adolescents, as well as some adults, but focus on children and youth. So it is truly an honor for me to stand before you today to share God's word. Our senior pastor, Pastor Jen, is on sabbatical in Korea with his family, and I just got a text from him today saying he wanted to pass on his warmest greetings to you all and let you guys know that he and his family are doing well. So may we continue to keep them in our prayers as well as they continue to rest and to renew. Today's lectionary text is interesting. It feels a bit choppy. It starts in the middle of the chapter at verse 16, and then it skips some verses in between, 20 through 24, and then jumps right into verse 25. So I'll try to try my best to help make sense of these verses and bring it together. Prior to today's text, John the Baptist is said to be in prison. At this point, John is imprisoned at Herod Antipas' fortress at Machaerus, which is east of Jordan. And from prison, John hears all of the amazing work that Jesus is doing, Jesus and his disciples. So wondering if Jesus is truly the Messiah that was to come, John says to his disciples, hey guys, go ask this rabbi Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? So they go and they ask Jesus this question. Jesus does not answer them directly, as he often does, but he tells them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news. And then following that, Jesus goes on to talk about John the Baptist, and he praises him for the good work that John has done, and saying that John is more than a prophet. He is a messenger that came to prepare the way for Christ. And so we arrive at our text today. After lifting up John with praises, Jesus calls out all those that have opposed John and Jesus and their ministry. He says in verses 16 through 18, but to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling one another. We played a flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, celebrating life. And they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collector and sinners. Jesus likens these oppositional people to the intelligent and wise people that refuse to believe, understand, and even acknowledge the ministry that John and Jesus were doing. They were the religious and political leaders of the day that had much to lose in terms of power, wealth, and status. And so they could not accept Jesus or John in their ministry. Instead, they chose to ignore, reject, and ridicule them. They chose the foolishness of the world that gave them comfort and security rather than the good news of the gospel that would give them life to the fullest. Then the text skips to verse 25, and Jesus says that God has hidden this understanding, this good news from the wise and intelligent, and have revealed them to the infants. And anyone that knows the Father knows the Son, and anyone that knows the Son knows the Father in heaven. Jesus closes this passage with an encouragement for weary people to go to him to unload their burdens and find rest. He says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This past year has been an interesting one for me. After doing ministry in the church for 13 years, starting as a seminary student and then becoming an ordained pastor, and with extensive focus on youth ministry over all those years, I've crossed over to working with children and youth in a clinical mental health setting. Not that I haven't dealt with youth struggling with depression, anxiety, and other mental stressors in the church setting, but in the clinical setting, I see many kids with such high acuity of mental health difficulties. And the surprising or not so surprising fact is that these kids come from every social, economic, and cultural background that you can think of. Some children come from lives of serious trauma and abuse. When you hear some of these kids' stories, it is just so heartbreaking and unfortunate that they had to go through so much hardship. Some children come from neglectful families, and some children come from caring families, yet parents that do not know how to set good limits or boundaries, that do not know how to discipline well. Some children come from parents that struggle with mental health difficulties of their own. It takes a team of compassionate individuals of various disciplines, psychiatrists, therapists, nurses, administrators, and other clinicians to come together to provide treatment for that one child and family in this type of setting. Chaplains are also asked to provide spiritual care to patients, as the organization believes that mental health crisis is often not separate from spiritual health crisis. So several ways that chaplain provides patient care is doing one-on-one meetings with them, counseling with them, and also leading this group called spiritual care groups, which often is a very broad topic group. We could talk about life topics or spiritual topics such as hope or resilience or larger worldviews. And I always encourage our kids, like, all of you guys come from different cultural and spiritual and religious backgrounds. Please feel free to share your views and your thoughts, but and feel free to disagree with one another, but always respect the other person as we will respect you. So to create this open and welcoming space where kids of every background can come and share their thoughts and values. And in that sense, I think it's a little different than working in the church, right? Where we come together with specific doctrine and understandings and we kind of preach and teach that. In a clinical setting, it's more about providing resources to kids that whatever spiritual resources they need. So for example, a kid that wants smudging, you know, is something that we're working on with our elder, Brian John, who is being connected to do that, and or a Catholic patient that wants Eucharist communion, and so we would have to find a Eucharistic minister that we're connected to come in for that. So it's really various in terms of the work, and it really stretches kind of the understanding of spirituality, at least for me, So it's been pretty interesting work. So as I provide care for struggling children and youth, a question repeatedly comes to my mind. What if this patient also had the opportunity to be part of a community like Church of All Nations? What if she had the love and support of not just her immediate family and not just a clinical setting, but a whole village like Can? I mean, I often talk to kids, and some of them go to church, and some of them have youth groups and things of that nature. But when I kind of talk to them deeply, I question how deep their relationship, their deep their connections are with their community of faith. And so I really wonder, what if they were part of churches like ours? I imagine how their lives would be ultimately different with a nurturing community like ours. It's not that we're perfect. It's not that we don't struggle here at CAN, nor are we immune from the mental stressors and the daily injustices we face each day in our society. But the key difference, I think, is that we have each other, that we can be honest with each other and share our struggles in cell groups, youth group, couples ministry, men's ministry, parish meetings, and so forth in our congregation. Shame of one's struggle can be delicately held by a group of people. Isolating behaviors are lessened by living and working in a community together. People are challenged and edified by one another here. Also, we address hard issues and brainstorm ways that we can stand in solidarity with our Native American brothers and sisters, like in Standing Rock, our African American brothers and sisters that are targeted every day, our immigrant families, documented and undocumented alike, that are in constant threat under our society and especially our current administration. Our community, Church of All Nations, is a safe haven for all the marginalized, the oppressed, and the dehumanized. Each day, I appreciate the heart of all of you that sincerely asks the question, how can we restore human dignity to one another, to the larger society, to this earth when so much is broken and when so much hope is gone? In looking back at our text today, Jesus says that so few really get what is at stake. So few really get what is really going on. Many of the co-opted people, the leaders, they just don't get it. Jesus juxtaposed these wise, intelligent, and notable leaders to children. He says, when children play a glad song, a song to celebrate life, maybe in a wedding, a marriage, these people do not dance. When children play a sad song, when they're mourning at a funeral, these people are not moved to tears. Either these people are so oblivious, or they have chosen to ignore what is actually happening before their eyes. And then in verses 25 through 26, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to the infants. To the infants, yes. For Father, such was your gracious will. Jesus calls us to be like children, to be like infants that are open to receiving and accepting things as they are. I think children are simple, and they take things in life as it is. There is no pretending. There is no hiding, no exaggerating, none of that. I'm often reminded of this in watching my baby son Joshua. A baby laughs when he is having fun, cries when he is hungry or feeling sick, point to things when he wants something. A baby expresses his or her primal needs directly without sugarcoating anything. As parents, the challenge is trying to figure out which cry means what at certain times, right? One of the ways that we are consistently challenging the system of this world here at our congregation is by living in community and sharing what we have with one another. I'm continually grateful to you all for welcoming all people and allowing each person to be who she or he is called to be with very little judgment, criticism, or unrealistic expectation of what a Christian should or should not be. There is trust and freedom here to express ourselves, our views, our talents openly. And because we have this trust, we can engage deeply. We also put our hands together to do the garden, make repairs, paint, cook meals here. And we live together in community houses, doing life together in so many different ways. Our church is not a wealthy church, nor do we pretend to be. I think our church is actually a scrappy church, trying to make ends with every little thing that we have and being resourceful. And our church is content with what we have. And I think we ultimately get the big picture of what it means to love, what it means to share our burdens and carry each other. When our family moved back to Cannes 2.5 years ago, after serving 6 years at a congregation in Houston, we were surprised by the fact, this one thing, when we came to church on Sunday at 10 a.m., we were often the first ones there. We were like, what's going on? I mean, I see Bart getting ready to usher people in, and Jinzu, you know, at the stage getting praise, everything set up, and that was it. Tara and I were like scratching our heads. What? Let me pause here a bit and give you some more context. When we were at the Korean Immigrant Congregation in Houston, most people weren't late to church, especially staff. I'm not trying to shame you guys. You guys are doing much better. We've definitely improved. In fact, as an associate pastor, my family had to be at church 30 minutes earlier before Sunday worship service started. And that was considering 2 to 4 youth that we would have to pick up even before getting to church, 30 minutes before. So, and it was this kind of discipline that resonated in every area of that congregational life. Members rarely missed Sundays. There were dawn prayer services held every morning at 5:30 a.m., midweek evening service held every Wednesday at 7 p.m., in addition to daily personal devotion of scripture reading and prayer that was recommended. My senior pastor once said to me, "Do you pray at least 2 hours a day?" And I was like, in my mind, no. He was like, "If a regular member prays 1 hour a day, a pastor has to at least double that, don't you think?" Okay. Now I believe that practicing spiritual disciplines is a good thing if we do it with a sincere heart, and it leads to, loving God and neighbor well. But the unfortunate thing was that the congregation, even in all of its spiritual disciplines and worship meetings, failed to love God and one another deeply. Members consistently had conflict with one another. They gossiped about each other, backstab one another, and they struggled, as I shared with you all before, to accept our students that we had reached out to our neighborhood that were not just Koreans, but Hispanic, white, black, every color in between. The congregation followed the finer details. They got the small picture, as outlined in scripture, right? But totally missed the mark in seeing the big picture of loving God and one another. In contrast, Church of All Nations, you guys get the big picture. Maybe not always a small picture, the finer detail stuff. But you care. You are humble. You listen to others. You share your burdens and carry each other. You are a place of healing and nurture. And so many have testified to that. You accept situations and people as they are. You do not pretend to be more than what you are. So may we continue to live into this calling and grow deeper in our trust and love for God and for one another each day. Let me close with the words of Jesus from our text today. He says in verses 25 and then 28 through 30, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to the infants.'" And then in verse 28, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I really like the praise this morning, the first song, that sweet anointing is in this sanctuary, that she is here to break the yoke and lift the heavy burden, that he is here to heal the hopeless heart. Come and lay down the heavy burden you've carried, for in this sanctuary, God is here. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for bringing us to worship and to praise you today. We thank you for this congregation, Church of All Nations, for the ways that it's grown, for the ways that we continue to press on to love all people and to restore the human dignity in each person that we encounter. I thank you for the hospitality, the generosity, the healing nurture that this community is for so many of us. And we ask that you continue to pour out that sweet anointing and that we continue to be that blessing unto others. We also ask that you be with our senior pastor and his family in this time of sabbatical, and may they be refreshed and renewed to serve this church even more faithfully. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. May the ushers come forward at this time to receive our tithes and offerings.